Republican state assembly leaders released their proposal last week for updating the state's shared revenue system. That system determines the amount of state tax money that is redistributed back to local municipalities. The current shared revenue structure has remained relatively stagnant since the early 2000s, but the demographics of townships, cities, and counties around the state have changed a lot over the time. The Republican proposal has gotten some pushback from state and local leaders who say the funding increases aren't enough and they come with a lot of restrictions on how the money could be used. Governor Tony Evers previously proposed his own changes to the state shared revenue system and said last week he would veto the Republican plan as it currently stands.
The state must step up more than what I've seen. It's why I can't support the Republican plan as is, and frankly, I'll veto it in its entirety. It is not enough resources. We have the resources to do it. Let's increase the money that's going to the locals. And frankly, also let's kind of remove all those restrictions that the legislation was putting on those local folks.
The Republican proposal is still in draft form. It could be tweaked before lawmakers vote on it. Our next guest broke down the numbers in both plans to see what they meant for communities around the state. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about state shared revenue and the Republican proposal? Do you want to see the state government increase the flow of funding back to local governments? If so, how should the money be divided? Should there be strings attached on what local governments can do with that money? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Philip Bracco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. He wrote analyses of the Republican state shared revenue proposal and Governor Evers' proposal on the blog The Recombobulation Area. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Always good to be with you, Rob.
Let's talk about the concept of shared revenue. Sometimes I think it's portrayed as the state is giving money to local communities. People think of it differently, though. It's tax money that's collected in local communities in the first place. How should we think about shared revenue?
Yeah, so if you think about the history of shared revenue, the state starts doing this in 1911. And that year is important because that's also the year that the state preempts local governments from assessing income tax. And it enacts a number of property tax exemptions for the first time. And so basically what shared revenue is doing is the state saying, look, we're in control of all of these local units of government. We are taking away a source of revenue liquidity for you, really important sources of revenue. And so what we're doing is we're going to give back some of that revenue that we're essentially preempting you from taking advantage of. And the formula by which the state's done that has changed a little bit over the years. We really haven't updated the amounts that local governments are getting since the early 2000s. But the basic idea is a return of revenue to local communities rather than, I like to say, it's not a gift. Right, it is a return of revenue to counties and municipalities around the state.
There's a lot of differences between the two parties, but it does seem like there's general consensus, Phil, that something needs to change. Why is that?
Well, I think the consensus that you see has been built up over the last few decades, where essentially the state has allowed the payment that local governments receive to remain flat, even though inflation is increasing every year, and even though the revenues that local communities are sending back to Madison or to the state government are increasing every year, the money has stayed flat. So, for example, right, if Milwaukee were to get what it sort of in inflation-adjusted terms, what it was owed, compared to 2001, right, it would be receiving about $400 million rather than $200 some million that it's receiving today. And so, you know, you can see that there's been demand for local governments. Every single legislative session, they sort of put these sort of demands up. But really, the state legislature has been pretty unwilling to move on those until this year. And so the thing that holds the governor and the state legislature's proposals in common is that they both represent an adjustment to that formula, reintroducing a formula so that it updates every year. But that's really where the similarities between the two proposals end. In almost every other important respect, and we can talk about what those are, those two plans are pretty different.
Yeah, they get pretty complicated, but can you talk about kind of which communities gain the most from one proposal versus the other? Who are the winners and losers in the governor's plan versus the Republican plan?
Well, let's just start by talking about the size and scale of the two plans, right? Under Evers' proposal, the governor would allocate about $576 million additional dollars in state revenue aid or local revenue aid. The assembly bill is about half that, right? $277 million. So already when we're thinking about what's different between the two proposals, it's not just the distribution formula, how the money moves mm-hmm. around the state. It's just the amount of money overall. And so you've seen complaints from everybody from local officials in Milwaukee County to officials in Waukesha County, very different politically, but complaints about the overall size of the package. Now, the other thing that's important is the mathematical formula that's used to allocate that aid, right? So for a very long time, the formula that the state used said, look, we're going to give back money based on kind of the amount of revenue effort that you're putting in and the overall property value. So the idea was like tax-based equalization as well as your population. The governor's proposal kind of reintroduces that formula again. So it's basically kind of restoring it to what it would have been in the early 2000s, kind of where we left off last. The Republican formula is pretty different. It takes out that aidable revenue component entirely. So that component that's based on property tax values and revenue effort, and replaces it with a formula that varies. There's a formula for counties that is so complicated that I can't even really get into it on the radio. It is in fact too complicated for that. But for municipalities, the formula differs depending on the size of your municipality. So if you are a municipality with like less than 5,000 people, you have a little bit higher population multiplier. There's like a number that the population is multiplied by than larger cities. And what that means is that as a percentage of what they're getting now, local, very, very small municipalities, give an example of Popple River, which is, I think, in Forest County. It has a population of something like 43 people. I mean, it's going to see something like a 5,000% increase over what it's getting now, which is great for Popple River, by the way. By contrast, if you look at what a city like Milwaukee or Racine or Green Bay or La Crosse is going to be getting, they're going to be getting just about 10% more than they're getting now. So, you know, the idea of the Republicans' kind of proposal is like every community is going to get at least 10% more. But some communities, and particularly the smallest municipalities in the state, are going to get a lot more in a number of cases. It's like over 1,000% more than they're getting today.
Talking to Marquette University political science professor Phil Rocco about proposed changes to the state shared revenue system and what it would mean for communities big and small around Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about this and what you've seen in the news so far? If you are closely involved in local budgets at whatever level, what do you want to see change? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Phil Rocco, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, with us to discuss the proposal by Republican lawmakers to update the state's shared revenue system with new funding and new limitations for local governments, how it stacks up against Governor Evers' plan. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Stephen is with us in Mount Pleasant. Stephen, hi.
Hello. The quota requirement to receive shared revenue, is that going to be seasonal, monthly, yearly? I don't understand how this is going to be placed, because this could have a drastic effect on off-season up north, where there are no tourists, and all of a sudden you have to start busing the locals for being 2 miles an hour over the limit.
Oh, Stephen, it sounds like you're talking about police quotas. There were some strings involving either police numbers or their traffic violation quotas. Do I have that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Stephen. Phil, Stephen taking us into some of the strings attached, and yes, some of the funding is contingent on providing proof that you're not cutting back on police services in a community.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of differences here. So the governor's proposal, we'll just begin with what the new money can be used for. About 56% of the governor's proposal is just general revenue. That's kind of what local governments have been used to getting from the state. It reserves 45% for public safety. With the Republican proposal, 100% of the aid is restricted for either public safety, EMS, or fire. So it's not general money. I want to make that clear at the outset. Then beyond that, there are a bunch of additional restrictions or strings attached to that. One of the strings I think that's gotten the most attracted the most controversy is this idea that in order to get the new money, local governments have to spend or contribute the same amount of effort, and that means a couple different things, to policing and other services that they did in the prior year. And the kinds of evidence that the governments can provide, that there's sort of four different criteria, and they have to provide evidence of two of them, is like you're spending the same, you have the same number of sworn officers, and then the ones that have attracted the most controversy are you're making the same number of arrests, or you are doing the same number of moving violations. And obviously that's, I think, those two things in particular have attracted controversy, because there is currently a law on the books in Wisconsin that prohibits arrest quotas. But even if that's kind of out the door, the idea that you have to, that the state is going to determine kind of artificially, like what you should be spending on different categories of expenditures, I mean, that's attracted a lot of conflict and controversy from local officials around the state.
Thanks a lot for that call, Stephen. And Phil, it's not just police. There are a lot of concerns about various places where local leaders say, hang on, you're stepping on local control. Advisory referenda, I believe, go away. What other restrictions are you seeing concern about there?
Yeah, so there's some things like the prohibition on advisory referenda. So now under the Republican proposal, local governments would not be allowed to have advisory referenda on the ballot, which has attracted some controversy. There's some other things that are just preemption. So preventing local public health officials from issuing orders in the event of a pandemic kind of event, unless they get special political approval for doing that. A preemption on local regulations of quarries, as well as for Milwaukee City and County, a whole host of other restrictions. So limiting what Milwaukee City and County can spend on arts funding, requiring a 2/3 vote of city and county legislative bodies in order to approve new spending, preventing the city from spending any levy money on a streetcar. I mean, it is a very high level of state control that the assembly's bill is asking local governments to you know, give up autonomy in exchange for an amount of money that's about half what they would get under Evers' proposal.
Phil, as I mentioned, the Republican draft is a draft, so Republicans could change it. As I also mentioned, Governor Evers could veto the whole thing. If we just ride with the current budget and the current shared revenue plan, what are your concerns about what that would mean for communities around the state?
Well, right. And I think this is the sort of the bargaining situation that we're in right now. In a way, the status quo, especially for larger cities, is pretty unsustainable, right? And so, you know, in traditional legislative bargaining, if there is a status quo that is like really unacceptable and you can't get a better deal, you'd expect the parties to kind of accept the take it or leave it offer. The issue here, and I think the reason why Evers threatened to veto the legislation, and I think why the veto threat is credible, is that a shared revenue measure that has a lot of strings attached that really fundamentally changes the logic of the program that had been in place for many, many years, and has unintended consequences that really haven't at this point even been analyzed. I think he's banking on the idea that that threat is credible because those kinds of restrictions are very unpopular across the state. And I think that it is possible that that could advance some bargaining. And if you look at the current kind of what lobbyist principals have kind of the positions they've registered on the bill, you know, it's not like all of the local governments have registered unequivocal support. 64% of the government of the lobbyists on the legislation have registered their stand as others. So neither oppose entirely nor support entirely. They all have sort of problems. Many of them have problems with it. There are some unequivocal supporters, and then there are some unequivocal opponents. So I think that does set up conditions of possibility for bargaining here. Although the one thing to note is that the governor's veto threat here is a full veto threat because Republicans have styled this as a standalone bill rather than being part of the budget. The very strong veto pen that Evers traditionally wields in the budget process will not, the line item veto will not apply to this.
Thanks to Phil Rocco, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. We took a look at state shared revenue proposals.